How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. The Lakers are coming off of one of those games. Basically, what's going to happen here, I usually take notes on what Harrison and I are going to talk about. Harrison jumped on and he said, you know what, let's just turn on the mics and go. So that's what we're going to do. But before we get into that, make sure you're following the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers on SeatGeek and Mack Weldon. And Lakers are, I said LO Lakers, right?
Yes.
Yep. And then make sure you're using the promo code Lakers10 on BetDSI.com. Usually in a game like this or after games, because we don't want to be up too late, we just kind of say, all right, we'll talk. We won't go live. We won't be live on camera. So that we don't have to rush ourselves to camera, but we'll talk as soon after the game ends as we possibly can. And Harrison, you messaged me after the game and asked if I was ready to go, and I just said no, I wasn't, because frankly, this is the most disappointed. This is the only time. So like when I say this is the most disappointed, that's like saying Brandon Ingram's career high before he scored 17 was like 9 points. This is the only time I have felt myself being disappointed in the Lakers this season, and it's
well. Are you sure about that? Because you were pretty heated after the Dallas Mavericks loss like 2 weeks ago on TNT.
I mean, the difference here was that, like, all right, it's one thing. So Luke actually talked the other day about how he was pleased that the Lakers didn't play down to their competition against the Heat. And that they didn't play down to their competition against the Orlando Magic. There's a difference between just playing down to an opponent and getting your butt kicked because you do that, because on any given night an NBA team can beat another NBA team. Tonight was one of those nights where, like, Thomas Robinson said, payback. Jordan Clarkson echoed the same sentiment. The entire team rolls into this game, you know, with what feels like as much momentum as they've had at any point in this season. And they have a good first half, and then in the second half, just completely disappear. Just, I will never use the word quit, because these guys as athletes are better at basketball than they'll ever be at anything that I'll ever try to do. But this was the first night where the effort just didn't feel like it was there. And as soon as they went down by double digits, it just felt over. And that stunk, considering, you know, what felt like it was on the line. Now, we're talking about playoff implications in January, which is ridiculous in and of itself. But it was that game that, you know, you had the fan base was riled up for. This was the latest in an NBA season that the Lakers have been involved in the playoffs, and you just kind of felt like, all right, let's see what these kids actually have to offer in a game with meaning to it this late in the year. And frankly, the Blazers came out and punked them.
Well, they came out and punked them in the second half.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
the Lakers were competitive for the first half. I feel like they do deserve some credit for that, at least. Mm-hmm. But yes, in the second half, they did. They played really badly. They let the Blazers shoot 51.2% while the Lakers shot 29.3%. They made 12 of their 41 shots in the second half, which does to me at least lend a little bit of credence to all of them really were just saying, we just missed shots. We just missed shots. That's all that happened. But, I mean, they didn't really, right? They allowed the Blazers to have way too much easy stuff. So even if you're missing shots, sure, you still probably, like, no matter how good of defense you play, you're probably not going to win a game where you go 12 of 41 in the second half. But you're going to be closer than if you're just kind of letting the Blazers get to the basket whenever they want or get wide open jumpers like they allowed for Lillard a couple times. And it just was a really, really, I felt like, kind of pitiful defensive effort.
Yeah, just all around effort because, and this is something, I mean,
and even
is,
in the first half, like they were just like, it was like they had never had any idea that they were supposed to help the helper. And I know that happens a lot this year, but they seem to be leaving bigs, especially open under the basket tonight.
So I do think it's worth, I should mention this before we keep on going, because this is, again, this is the first time I felt disappointed in the Lakers. And this is coming in the same week that I go on the rant about positivity and this and that and the other. But I did say,
You made it two days.
But I did say when I was talking about that I was still going to remain honest, right? And we could crunch as many numbers as we want. You know, we could watch as much tape as we want. But when you're looking at something as obvious as a game like this where, look, they are playing against a more veteran team. Like, if we're going to offer the criticism that we're offering, we should do so with proper context. So the Lakers are, or the Blazers are, a veteran team compared to the Lakers. They've been there before, meaning they've been in a playoff race before, as they were last year. They know what these, you know, playoff implication type games, how they are going to play out because they've won them before. So the Lakers have all that going into tonight against them. They're fighting a quote-unquote, you know, a pseudo uphill battle. And that's what had me that much more excited when they were competitive in the first half. You know, they kept right there. It looks like to me they were down by 2 points when the third quarter happened. No, they were up by 2 points.
They were up by two heading into the third quarter.
Yeah, they're up by 2 points. So you're thinking to yourself, and it looked to me while it was going on, like you mentioned the bad first half defense. It looked to me like they could have actually, you know, they should have been up by more while I was watching. And then they start the third quarter, and again they put up a season low 12 points in any quarter that they've played this year. And as frustrating as it might be, that and as little as people might want to hear this, it just further speaks to the fact that these kids aren't ready for the playoffs. You know, they just aren't, because they're going up against a Blazers team that's already been there. If it isn't the Blazers, it's the Pelicans who have Anthony Davis, who is leagues better than anybody on the Lakers right now. It's why I'm always hesitant to talk about playoffs because
don't forget the Kings. I got you there, right?
Yeah. Oh well, at least Boogie said he wants to sign the mega contract deal. So
I mean, hey, the Kings might end up being better than the Lakers this year, so we shouldn't laugh too hard. But still, the Kings.
Yeah. Way to go, Kings. but again, I'm trying to stay as positive as I possibly can by putting this into proper context, but I can't help but feel at least a little disappointed at how, I don't want to say underprepared, because that would, you know, bring Luke into the equation, but unready, just not ready for the moment that the Lakers felt like they were tonight. And intangible analysis is really frustrating. Harrison, do you have more tangible analysis to offer?
I mean, is Luke uncriticizable at this point?
No,
I would say no.
Of course not.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you said that you didn't want to criticize Luke by saying unprepared. And I think Luke has done a phenomenal job this year as a rookie coach. Mm-hmm. But their second half issues consistently do speak at least a little bit to, I would say, to either a lack of adjustments coming out of the half, or to some type of, like, not getting the team in the right mindset. And again, it's ultimately on the team to go out there and play. It's not on the, like, there's only so much the coach can do. But I do think that at least a little bit of the blame in second halves should probably be assigned to him. Again, it's a young team, so they're going to have struggles. They're going to, tonight Russell said, we didn't counterpunch when the Blazers came out and kind of hit us in the third quarter. And I think he's right. And I think that more tangibly, I think what that means is that the Lakers have a hard time adjusting when, whether that's on coaching or whether that's on the youth of the players, when teams change their approach in the second half and start defending them a little bit differently. The Lakers sometimes, I think, have a tendency to look a little bit lost in those scenarios.
Yeah, I guess
that's... I mean, they have I believe the sixth worst net rating in the league in the second halves this year. Let me look at this really. Yeah, the sixth worst net rating in the league in second halves this year. I mean, they aren't passing the ball. They have the seventh worst passes per game average in the league, and they isolate the sixth most of any NBA team. And so, I mean, there's just a lot of stagnation going on right now is what I would say. And that's something that the players talked about a little bit too. And that's something that Luke got on Brandon Ingram for during the second half when people were trying to make that a thing. Like, Luke's yelling at Brandon, is he a bad coach now? And, you know, I would disagree with that, but I think he was correcting a player and Ingram seemed to take it pretty well. But yeah, I mean, there are tangible reasons for why they're struggling. But again, I come back to the most tangible one. I think it's youth. I think ultimately that's what a lot of this stuff comes down to. And I know that people get upset sometimes when we chalk so much stuff up to that. But really, that's the blanket statement right now.
Yeah, here's the key here. So...
And also pissing off Damian Lillard into dropping 18 in the second half.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe he would have regressed to the mean a little bit. He wasn't going to shoot like whatever 20% or something he was shooting in the first half the whole game. But you could say Russell poked the bear.
Shout out
to CSN Northwest for the worst meme I've ever seen.
Thanks, meme generator. So I wanted to talk about youth here, and it's for this reason. So people say...
Wait, hold on a sec. Lillard shot 10% in the first half.
Yeah.
So that's even worse than I thought it was. Yeah, go ahead. Get into youth.
I wanted to talk about youth here, and fans are going to say, hey, you know, CJ McCollum is in his, what, second year right now? He's in a second
year? No, he's like fifth.
Is he really?
Yes.
Holy crap. Where the hell have I been? But he's...
Man, what is with you and Miss AJ? Okay, he's in his fourth year, okay. Right in between.
Yeah, fifth or sixth sounded really deep, but
no, I didn't say sixth. I said fifth.
All right. Anywho, but CJ McCollum, for being a fourth year player, he entered the league at age 21, 22. He's 25 right now, so he entered the year at 21, right? And Damian Lillard is 26 right now. He entered the league way later than either of the Lakers, you know, anybody on the Lakers, really. Julius Randle entered the league before him, and he entered the league later than either D'Angelo Russell or Brandon Ingram in terms of actual years that they...
Mean in terms of how old he was when he came in?
Yeah, like...
I was confused for a second. He was in the 2012 draft.
Right,
but
so,
he was, yeah, he, yeah.
Right, so the point I'm making here is that, like, when people get frustrated, you know, these guys haven't been in the league that much longer than the guys that they're competing against. One, those early years are that much more important, right? That's what made it so frustrating over the last few years when you had Julius Randle. I mean, Julius Randle's leg thing couldn't have been prevented, but when you look at D'Angelo Russell's rookie year, and it's completely overwhelmed by the Kobe farewell tour, you know, that hurts his development. And that's hurting his development on top of the fact that he entered the league way earlier than both CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard did.
Yet D'Angelo Russell is 20 right now. Damian Lillard was 22 in his rookie year.
Right. And so when people say, like, these guys, you know, they aren't going against guys that are that much older than them. Actually, they are.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not in NBA years, but yeah, but like they're older. Like if they were not doing this right now, then, you know, you'd be talking about their draft status or whatever. Like, why would you take 4-year players because they have limited upside, all that stuff.
Yeah, right. So
they were more ready to come in and pop just because they were a little bit older, a little bit more developed.
Mm-hmm.
McCollum was 22 when he came in his rookie year as well. So.
Right. So this is the key point here that I wanted to make. And while the game was disappointing, I found myself legitimately disappointed in tonight's effort. And I don't like using effort because it's intangible, but that's the word I'm going to go with. I do want to continue to point out that this is the Lakers, like the core of the Lakers right now is worse than they are ever going to be together. And the Blazers, one would hope, yes. if it isn't, then there's organizational failure and everybody deserves to go. But for when you look at the Blazers, that isn't the case. Like you're looking at the Blazers right now, and they're only maybe a couple years away from thinking to yourself, wait, what is this team's actual ceiling? And I argued last show and the show before it that their ceiling might have been last season. And yes, they came out and they smoked the Lakers in the second half. And if they would have played two of those halves, they would have beat the Lakers by 40. But
yeah,
what I was going to finish with was but with young teams, that momentum is all the more exaggerated. We've talked about that already this season, is that the highs are going to be higher with young teams than they're going to be lower than, you know, than typical teams. You know, the Warriors are going to reach extreme highs because they're just that talented. But the actual difference between a Warriors high and a Warriors low isn't going to be anywhere near as clearly stated as the Lakers highs and their low is going to be. So in the first half, when they're playing these guys, you know, 2 points better, I don't know if that's necessarily their highest high. But when they come out and they score 30 combined points in the second half, that is probably their lowest low, and it's going to be all the more stated because they are so young and they're playing against an older NBA team.
Yeah, and to get back to the youth thing really quickly, mm-hmm. When Lillard came in as a 22-year-old, his per 36 minutes averages were 17.8 points, 6 assists, and 2.9 rebounds. Russell, as a 20-year-old this year, 20.7 points, 6.1 assists, 4.8 rebounds per 36. He's averaging about a steal more per game, and about a turnover more per game, and he's shooting a true shooting percentage of a little over a percentage point lower, and then using about 3% more possessions than Lillard was. So he is doing a little bit more production on a little bit more chances to use the ball, but still, I mean, their averages are pretty similar, Russell at 20 versus Lillard in his rookie year at 22. So, I mean, it's not like he's struggling at some unforeseen level. He's actually pretty good right now for a player considering his age.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds really fair. And look, again, I'll take it back to what I said to open the week, where when the Lakers were struggling, I was hesitant to criticize them as people because they still seem like good people. A few games later, you know, at one game later, after they go on the run that they went on, they're still the same people. So, yes, it was a disappointing loss, and these disappointing losses are going to happen when it's a one-game sample size. But for the most part, again, I come back to the fact that I never considered this team heading into the year a playoff team. So, like, this is honestly a stream of consciousness where, as I'm talking through this podcast, I'm just sitting here saying to myself, I'm you know, I was bummed about how the game played out today, but at the same time, I understand what might have happened while it was going on. Yet those 2 points aren't necessarily mutually exclusive, so I can be disappointed while also understanding the context in which the game was played. And all it means is that the Lakers now have to refocus themselves as they go up against a back-to-back against the Spurs and Clippers, which, again, you know...
Well, not a back-to-back, but their next two games.
Oh, it isn't a back-to-back? Oh, I thought it was a back-to-back. Well, that's good news, but... But you know those two games in succession is that much more, that makes tonight that much more annoying, that they had an opportunity with these two games ahead on the schedule to make, you know, the gap less stated when the Lakers, you know, lose at least one of these next two, but they missed it, and now it's just a matter of, like Luke said, focusing on tomorrow and getting back at it tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all they can do, right?
And that's the last point I wanted to make. Luke, I thought, handled tonight's loss really well. Harrison, do you have some of the quotes handy?
Yeah, he talked about that. It's, you know, he said that he was worried that maybe the team got comfortable, which is not acceptable, but maybe that's what happened. I'm not sure. It's frustrating to lose, but I've rarely been disappointed in our team during the season because they've given us great effort, and there have been injuries and ups and downs, and they stick with it and keep playing together, and they support each other. But this second half, I didn't really recognize the team out there. And then he went on to say, you know, hopefully it was just a little speed bump and we'll get back. And he also said that he was happy with Russell's game tonight, which I thought was interesting. He just thought in his mind publicly, Russell just missed shots. And he said that he thought his defense was good. He thought that he was kind of getting into Lillard and the other guards, getting over screens. And he was asked if Russell should have went back against Lillard after their little altercation, went back up against him and went one-on-one a little bit. And he said, no, you know, that's not how we win games. We try to win games by attacking as a team.
Yeah. And then, like I said, earlier, Luke says, I told the guys, we've made some really good progress the last couple of weeks. The second half happened, but let's not let it affect the way we've been playing and get back after it tomorrow, right? And again, that's Luke keeping the bigger picture in mind, the larger picture in mind, and that's that's all the season should be, right? Make as much progress as you can possibly make, and then, you know, keep the big picture, the larger picture in mind, the long term in mind, all the while. And let's go ahead and lighten things up a little bit here, because it's been overly serious. The Lakers dropped one game, albeit a frustrating game and a disappointing game, but let's lighten things up. D'Angelo Russell gets into it a little bit with Damian Lillard. Lillard took issue with it and spoke about it after the game, which I felt highly overcompensatory, but we don't have to talk about
the showed how tough he was by telling the media how he doesn't take any guff from a 20-year-old rookie.
Look, man, when you're a 26-year-old, you know, up-and-coming rapper, you have to take every opportunity that you can possibly take to look as tough as you can possibly look.
You think he's trying to... This is like the next, like, Biggie Tupac feud, like Russell and Damian Lillard?
Yeah,
We have to figure out if Russell raps. I've never seen any evidence of him trying to rap, so theory is kind of flawed from that perspective. But
I think it's more from the standpoint of, like, Dame can't take he can't get bumped like that by a 20-year-old and then not talk about it after the game and still maintain that he's this, you know, he's this, you know, tough and rough and tumble rapper or whatever.
And hey, he responded to it better on the court. We have to give him credit for that. And absolutely, his guys in the Portland media really responded pretty toughly with some type of awful bear meme on the internet. So they, you know, I think between those two things, they really showed D'Angelo.
The sentence that you just uttered is so 20, now 17, but we will show you.
I wonder if they deleted that thing. Otherwise, people should go search this thing out. But that was not good.
All right, so we did this. We did this with Jordan Clarkson and Goran Dragic. I took Dragic in it. You took Clarkson against Dragic. We forgot to put up the poll because we're the utmost professionals. Harrison, who do you have between Damian Lillard and D'Angelo Russell?
I mean, they didn't even really fight. They just kind of like argued with each other. Like they did the NBA, I'm going to put my face really close to your face and we're going to talk and look really tough and then our teammates are going to pull us apart type thing. Like D'Angelo Russell... Kobe didn't impart that lesson that he told Jordan Clarkson about putting your hands up immediately, because and that's probably good.
Like neither guy.
Nobody was separating them. Clarkson put his dukes up when people were separating them.
Both D'Angelo Russell and Damian Lillard took the Ronda Rousey route of just sticking your face in there and seeing what happens, and we saw how that worked out for Rousey, but. Do you have the measures in front of you? I think Russell has
a significant size advantage just judging by the post work in the first half. That's
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pulling up their listed heights. So Lillard's listed at 6'3", 195. Russell 6'5", 195.
Who do you got? You have the older, more compacted Damian Lillard against the younger, longer D'Angelo Russell.
You know, people are going to get mad at me for this, but I'm going to go Lillard because he seemed way more angry about it. Like, I don't think Russell was that upset or what. Like, he's like, why is this guy running up and yelling at me right now? He looked like fairly nonplussed throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'd take Lillard almost just on the basis that he was the one more likely to swing, I think, first.
Okay, so you're taking Lillard on the cheap shot theory.
Yes.
All right, so I'm taking Russell on the fact that he felt comfortable in that situation. Like,
I mean, it was kind of funny to just see him like looking down at Lil, like very not concerned about this guy, whatever this guy was yelling at him.
What's this guy's deal? He's just like,
yeah,
dude, I bumped your shoulder. Like, what's your deal? And then, yeah, I'm actually taking Russell because it looked like he'd been there. Like, same thing with Clarkson and
that's
Dragic.
True. He was not scared.
Yeah,
he was not scared.
Like with Clarkson and Dragic, like, yes, Clarkson technically put his hands up near his face and he looked ready to box or whatever. But while he was doing that, did you notice he wound up on the sideline when that was happening? Like that the thing happened under the basket, and then by the time the fracas was over, he was by the sideline. But yeah, it felt overcompensatory from Damian Lillard, and it looked like D'Angelo Russell was really comfortable in the situation. So, like, even if Damian tried to swing with a cheap shot, I feel like if he doesn't catch D'Angelo with that cheap shot, I think D'Angelo winds up winning that fight.
This is the most responsible journalism we've ever done. Just this week, like two shows in a row, picking fights between NBA players.
I mean,
my parents would be so proud.
The fights happened. Like, we aren't picking fights.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
we're
picking who would win the fight, but we aren't like outwardly adding both guys. Like, hey, yo, like who would actually win? Like, who do you actually have in this thing?
Yeah.
So, all right. There
this was a good one. Thanks for sticking with us, guys.
There hadn't been enough laughing in this one. Like, yes, the Lakers. Yes. This was a disappointing.
I mean, honestly. I'm gonna go with the bear from that awful meme. I think would win the fight. That's who I'm going with.
All right, hot.
That's
takes.
Seriously amazing that somebody. Anthony tweeted it out. Go to his timeline. It's just wow.
Yeah, yeah. It was. Oh man. All right. God bless Portland fans. You soccer moms up north. We will talk to everybody again tomorrow. Again, disappointing loss for the Lakers tonight. They wind up losing to the Portland Trail Blazers, 108-87. Nothing much else to talk about other than maybe this time Harrison and I will remember to put up a poll about who would win in a fight between Damian Lillard and D'Angelo Russell. Other than that, make sure you're following the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers on both SeatGeek and Mac Weldon, and Lakers10 on BetDSI.com. If you haven't listened to it already, go back and listen to our show with John Ireland. He has three great stories on there. Great stories. Two of them about Shaq. One, he's a terrible organist. Two, he leads protests.
Keyboard, I think.
No, it was a keyboard, but he was playing the organ. Organ setting on there. Shaq is terrible on the piano, and Phil told him to shut up, basically. The next thing that happened was Shaq got off the bus when a protest got in the way of the Lakers team bus's progress, put a shirt on his head, and led a protest out of there. And there are some details in there that you're not going to want to miss from John Ireland. And then lastly, Kobe Bryant and Derek
probably
Fisher.
We don't even need to say what they did. People should just go listen. But let's just say it's the least prepared Kobe story you've ever heard. The legend of Kobe Bryant is that he's ready for anything. He's ready for anything except for an NFC playoff game.
SeatGeek would have helped Kobe and Derek in that situation.
Yeah, I think SeatGeek would have told them where the game was.
I would imagine so. So go check out that podcast. Make sure you're following us everywhere I told you to follow us. Use the promo code that I told you to use. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow. Keep your heads up, Laker fans. This was an annoying loss, but honestly, over the last couple of years, we know that it could get worse. So we'll talk to everybody soon.